Good morning. My name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
And a long-suffering Cubs fan. Oh, yeah. Do we have Cubs fans? I mean, you can't not talk about it, right? Holy criminy. You know, we joke that the Cubs are a life lesson. We learn about losing and disappointment and defeat. Year after year, we bonded with my father and me and my son, three generations of losing. You know? And what do we do now? I don't even know what to do. You know? I'm still trying to recover because it was up too late, right? I'm too old to enjoy it. I was watching the video of Wrigley Field and all the people are there. Oh my gosh. And what a nightmare. I just don't even want to do that anymore. When the Bulls won in 91, we ran downtown to Rush Street and we were in it, you know, and just carried as many beers as we could and started to run. I lived in Lincoln Park. It's about a mile north. And we ran and high-fived people in the cars all the way down there. And we're in the mix and we got up on a cab and, you know, I like to romanticize drinking, but I just don't miss that stuff. I don't want to be in a bar listening to a band anymore. You know, just, so there's some things that I'm glad that I don't miss. It makes my life a little bit easier, right? Because it's a big change. So can we do a third step prayer real quick? I love it when everybody gets involved at the end of the meeting. But the third step is really, just do that with me if you could. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. That's the one that saved me. It reminds me that it's thy will. Because when I come in here, I can read and I can understand words, right? But thy will meant me. Thy will be done. I was like, yeah, prayer, thy will be done. I pray for it and I'm going to get it. And I... it's the weirdest thing. You know? So the end of the prayer reminds me that it's not about me getting sober and becoming the man, but it's to give it away, you know. So if anybody needs a sponsor and you haven't gotten one yet, talk to me after the meeting. I need some sponsees. I need to give it away. It's part of this program. It's a hole that I've got in my program right now. And I really think I can feel it. That's one thing about having over 20 years is that I can just feel it, you know. I don't have that thick exterior that I used to have. Those little problems that I dealt with as a way of life now just drag me down, you know, and I know what to do about it, even though my committee tells me I don't need to go do something about it. You know, I only drove past two or three times today, you know. When's the last time Karen gave a lead? I bet she'll be fine, you know. It'll be great, you know. So here I am. So you know, so what happened, what it was like. It was just, like I said, I romanticize about it. I'm 49 and I got sober at 27, you know, so I've been at it a while. And I just do the minimum. I just show up. It's remarkable that I'm here. And I'll talk about some of those things that I'm just grateful. Because to be here I could be dead, you know, and I just have to remember to be grateful about those things. Because life doesn't always seem so great, right? It's a lot better than it could be, and, you know, to be here is a privilege, because it is a privilege to be sober. It is probably not the best to be, you know, locked up in institutions or jail or, you know, those things. So I try to remember that basic fact, because, oh, it's so hard, right, to be me, and it's so hard, all of these things. I got to get up on a Saturday morning, right, and go do this thing, and, you know, because in my brain it's going to be, I know over half the people here. That's fantastic. First time I did this, I didn't know hardly anybody here. You know, we've been in Georgia for about 5 years now and coming to the 8 a.m. for 3 years. And I like to watch. I've moved around so much, I can, you know, gauge. Okay, new meeting. When is it going to actually feel like I'm a part of things, right? And you know what did? It was remodeling this place, and we had to all jam in that back room. That's where I get to know people. We're all shoulder to shoulder. It just has that thing. We're practically shoulder to shoulder now. This place is pretty jammed. So started drinking early. It's not a remarkable story. I immediately started to... See, I grew up with my dad drinking, right? So when one of my early memories about... Because drinking was the thing, right? That was just... It was just my thing. And I remember going on a business meeting with my father. We met some of his business clients, right? And we're in a bar, you know, an old school bar. Wooden bar all the way down the thing, dark restaurant in the back, and I'm hanging out with some of the guys, and they're telling me, oh man, your dad can really put him away. You know, he's just back there with the boss, right? So I'm with the workers. My dad's back there with the boss, and they're putting him down, whatever, you know. I guess that's a good thing, right? But he was so enamored with that fact. I was like, well, there it is. That's the thing. I got to learn how to put him back, put him down, you know. That's going to be my goal. And I'm going to grow up. My dad and I are going to drink together, and this is going to be great. And I got to 17, and he quit. And it was just such a bummer. You know, I've even, right? Because that was my whole thing. Like, he was a disciplinarian. I mean, and, you know, just stuff and worked all the time. But we're going to have that one thing, right? He took me to my first Cubs game when I was 7 years old. So, I mean, I'll always have those kinds of memories. But it really, that was dramatic. I mean, I've been to therapy about it. She told me, you experienced loss early. And like, you know, he took away your drinking buddy. I'm like, what do you know about that? Are you kidding me? My drinking buddy, before I even got started, was ripped from my life. And I've suffered ever since, right? Because when I started drinking, it was about not being my old man. What do you mean you can't have a beer? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, does it? One beer? That's hard to believe. So that's not going to happen to me. And early on, because it's all a mystery, right? My sister is the one that had the party at home and drove the car when she wasn't supposed to and did all these things. I was home by curfew all the time. I don't understand. You know, I want to understand. This is where my brain goes. If I could just figure it out, right? Figure out which chromosome, snip it, I'll be good, right? Or just, or and it's really because I can help somebody else, right? Well, here's the formula. It's simple. It's A plus B equals C. That's how my brain works. And there's no formula for this. Did I drink myself into it? Is it genetic? My dad was an alcoholic. My grandfather was probably an alcoholic, right? They've got one of those nine kids in the family, farm families. There's a gap between my dad and his sister of 9 years. Well, Grandpa was in jail, right? After the Great Depression, Grandpa was in jail, right? Because I guess he made some bad decisions. And, holy cow. So there's this 25 years of kids in a little gap. So I guess it's genetic. But I'm like, but it can't be genetic because I was so such a great kid, right? So it was like a trigger. Something literally clicked before I went away to school. And it was one of those nights where we went to a keg party. And just we're pounding, you know, it's as much as you can drink, right? And we brought a bottle of Jack as well, and three or four of us finished the bottle of Jack, and I was stone cold sober. It was the oddest experience, because I wasn't there to be sober, right? Because, you know, being at a party, I needed that lubricant, or so I thought. And so it was a switch, and then I went away to school, and then I was completely out of control forever. You know, but my dad gave me that list of qualifiers early on. So if you can remember your first drink, you're an alcoholic, right? So I set about forgetting when my first drink was. It made perfect sense to me. Isn't it nuts? So I was either with Tommy at 10 or that party when I was, you know, late at 11. And I don't remember. If, you know, I don't even remember the ages, right? Because I literally have forgotten, so therefore I wasn't an alcoholic. It's crazy to me. So I drank very little in the beginning and went to parties a little bit and got to college, and then it was off to the races. But it was just every weekend, you know, and that's when I had blackouts and some things like that. So it was just everything. You know what it was like. It was everything. I would do anything and go anywhere, and it was always, you know, let's go, because it just made perfect sense, right? If the day was below average, having a party would make it better, right? And if it was average, how boring, let's have a party. And if it was great, you were celebrating. So there was always a reason to be working to those things. And it was just a slow, for me, it's just this slow thing. Like, I mean, I failed out of school, but just one class at a time, right? Which is exactly how I got drunk. Just one beer. I'd missed the one, and all of a sudden I had three classes where I hadn't even been. What? You know, another exam? No problem. I'll cram and I'll get, and I just, you know, and it's that whole mentality, you know, that I am somewhat different than everybody here. So I went to Indiana University with 30,000 students, and yet it was me versus the dean, right? And if you want to kick me out, I'm going to go home and I'll show you. I don't need to attend your your university, right? So it was just this distorted, massive ego, but don't look at me, like getting on the dance floor, right? Doesn't that takes 2 to 4 beers to get to dance, right? Well, it's not. It's 20 to 30 minutes for me to get the balls up to go out there, right? It had nothing to do with drinking. It was just that thing, because it was just everything. It just was. It was, see, there I go, you know. And getting sober at 27, that, right, that's a huge dramatic event, because they're the 27, if you ever looked up the 27 Club, it's pretty crazy. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, they all died at 27, right? It's nuts. And so there's supposed to be this thing where you either go down or you go up, one of the two. And thankfully, well, whatever. But it was just, you know, it's just mind-boggling, because I am this logical guy. So in the book where it talks about those things, tried this and we tried that, you know, I pride myself on not giving up, right? And it helps me in life, because, you know, I'm going to go until I can't get her done. And it, for drinking, that was the thing. I thought of everything I possibly could, and until I started to watch it, right? Because I'd missed just all of it, you know, and missed Mother's Day with grandma, didn't show up, crashed the car, you know, failed out of school, like I said, finally went back, and, you know, that took a year and a half off. So it took me 6 years of college to get 4 years of credits. And it just made me an older and wiser drinker when I went back, and I was able to teach the young kids how to really get it done, right? Because Indiana University was a dry campus, so we had to be clever. And so there was all sorts of those missions to get beer on campus and not get caught. So I figured that was a college thing, and once I graduated, I would just move on, right? And we would grow up, and that's what would happen. So I moved to Lincoln Park, downtown Chicago, where I grew up and got sober. And then it was a bunch of, you know, 24 and 25-year-olds after graduating, and we all partied hard, you know, and that was, it's a postgraduate thing, you know. Well, we're going to drink ourselves out of this eventually, wouldn't we? You know, because I'm not an alcoholic, because Dad's an alcoholic. And those guys, you can't, you have to quit. And clearly, I don't have to quit. I'm such a success. You know, I've only failed out of college, right? And then went to work for my dad. So I didn't have to, it's been an easy life, because I got sober downtown, where you can, it's 10-minute walk to, you can go north, south, east, or west and walk to a meeting. It's a dream come true, you know, when I finally got sober. It was so easy to stay sober. I didn't have to get in the car, I didn't have to plan, I could just go, you know. I could put it off and just go. And if I had to, like driving here, take, you know, 15 minutes, not bad. It's the only one I go to because it's the closest one, right? There's a church that's a little closer, but it's 11 a.m. and 8 a.m. gets it out of the way for me. So eventually I just ran out of, because I went to a meeting once, right? Because Dad's an alcoholic and I can't lose my job, so I'll admit that I've got a drinking problem, and, you know, went to a meeting, it was, and that to me was a dramatic event also, because it was like the, you know, burning bush for me is hard to identify with, but it was like somebody opened the shade and the light came in. I'm like, oh my gosh, they put you in jail because you were drinking, fool. You know, you lost that job because you were drinking. What? You know, I only had three. I wasn't really drinking, right? That's just get down a couple during my lunch break. Are you kidding me? Drinking is, that's an event. So these things, oh my gosh, you know, trying to, just more was always better. I got put in a drunk tank one night because the policeman knew the girl I was with that night. And so it was friends, and she was trying to say, Jim's a good guy, leave him alone. He's like, so are you with this girl? And I'm like, yes, sir, because he wanted to, you know, let me off, right? He's trying to let me off. And I'm like, yes. And actually, I've got three girlfriends right now because, you know, girlfriend equals stable, right? So I've got three, so I'm triply stable. You know, I've already told you I'm this logical guy, and that was logic to me. So of course I've insulted him and the girl I'm with, and off to the tank I go. Just, you know, so I start to look back at some of those things and go, huh, you know, son of a gun. But, you know, don't you worry about that, because it'll be fine. So I woke up, and all these problems are caused by drinking, and should really do something about it. And I knew all this stuff, right? You know, that's the thing. AA was always right back there, because my dad got sober when I was seven. I've got 22, he's got 32, right? So I knew, but that can't be the solution. You know, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But all of this was back there. So things were unmanageable. Right, all of these problems were clearly, it was like night and day, where the day before nothing was related to alcohol. Like I said, three drinks is not drinking. You know, I don't drink in the morning, only when I have to, right? Or if there's a bear game, you know, if the game's at noon, well, then you're going to be drinking in the morning, because you got to start about 10:30, right? Bloody Marys, you got to be ready for the game. So there's, you know, and I don't drink like alone. I just drink in the shower when I'm getting ready to go out. That's, you know, all of a sudden it was like that thing, like, are you alone in the shower? I'm like, well, usually, you know. He's like, okay, you're drinking alone. You know, it's the definition, man. How about that? And, well, congratulations on 24 years and welcome from to Florida. I need to calm down a little bit because it's, I don't want it to, you know, it's about giving back. Do we have any other, is Whitney here? Or we've got, Betsy has 11 years? No, it's very exciting. I try to make it not about, because I don't think I'm going to make it. You know, I think I'm going to jinx it. Every year I'm like, no, it's 3 months away. Don't even worry about that anniversary, right? Because it's starting to jinx it. So I gave up all this stuff, and I went away for the weekend. We went to the University of Wisconsin to hang out with some friends, and you know, it's just, we sat down for lunch and pitchers of beer were on sale, you know, and it's the one story I tell all the time because it is the most confounding thing, you know. Why wouldn't we have one pitcher of beer? We got like four guys at the table, right? It's Sunday afternoon, or no, it was Monday because it was a Labor Day weekend, right? It was the end of the summer, when it was still warm. Wonderful campus, was on the water. You could drink on campus, right? Which I was neglected, right? As, you know, at Indiana University, I was neglected that benefit. And, I mean, we'd have to drive to Ohio to drink on Sundays, right? We went to any lengths. So a $4 pitcher of beer, no big deal, and then we got to go. All right, well, it's only 1 o'clock. Let's have one more, you know. And then, you know, we're going to get out of here. And son of a gun, all of a sudden it's like 7 o'clock, you know, and we're at some other bar playing a trivia game and just sitting there, you know, and you're just locked in and the drinks are coming and I got to go get my round because I want to get something special or whatever. And I stumble off the seat to the bar. What? You know, you're stumbling, right? Because I understand mechanics, right? Because I don't have any clue what I'm doing, right? I have no idea how much I drank, because that was one of my things. An alcoholic knows how many drinks they've had. Well, so I quit counting. right? You know, just, I'm a problem solver. So I got no idea how much I've had. And but when the legs go, or the mouth starts to, you know, hi, my name is Jim. Okay, you got to start calming down. You're going to have to talk to people before 12, right? Problem solver. Don't drink less. Talk to them earlier when your mouth works. You know, it's just, and there's my logic. So I get up there, I'm like, son of a, oh, man, you know, if my legs are going, then that means I can't drive home right now. Oh, but it's only 7:30, so I could just, well, just sober up and we'll go home. Because if you don't, you know, Dad's already fired me like 4 times by now, right? So if I don't show up, this is the 5th time. That's probably, you know, 5 is probably too much. 4 I got away with, 5 is probably the limit. And then I'm like, well, what does Dad say about having problems? He says, you got to face your problems like a man. Okay, I'm going to face my problems like a man. Bartender, give us another round. I'm going to lose my job. And I went and sat down and continued to drink. Woke up in the morning and went, what happened? That is your logic. You know, this is after quitting, after watching it. Right, because I had quit for a while, and I'm just going to quit because things are unmanageable, I can tell, and I quit for like 3 weeks, and I went to a meeting just to get out of it because I'm not an alcoholic, you know. Quitting drinking is ridiculous, right? I'll just manage it. And I went out once at 4 o'clock because some guys were in town, and I was going to be out for a few hours because I had other plans. Plans change, right? And all of a sudden, it's 4 a.m., and that was... You know, that was the time before. When I quit drinking once, I was out till 4, and that was not the plan. And then here I am in another state when I need to be at work in 20 minutes. You know, so it just wasn't working, you know. And that's when I got powerless because I was, it was just out of, unbelievable. Just unbelievable. It still boggles my mind, you know, because I rely on that, you know. And it doesn't work. I can't use logic on my kids. Honey, let me explain to you why bedtime is so important, right? Why, if I just explain the situation, surely she'll get it. You know, and that's on my mind because she was up till about 11 o'clock or 12, I don't even know, last night. Mom, 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 mom. I'm like, she'll quit soon, right? No. Mom, mom, mom. Oh, and they're so, there's isms all over my family, right? Kids, manipulatory deceptionism. My tummy hurts. I'm scared. Oh my gosh! What if she is scared? You know. So I've gone from a 27-year-old single guy now to 49 and married, and my challenges are different. You know, but getting there. So, staying sober. I think today I don't think about it. You know, I really don't. I see it, right? Because I've been driving like a jerk lately, and that's a big. Oh my gosh. Yeah, now I got kids with me, and not so bad. I haven't, you know, and I'll get back to that. So, you know, what do you do like right now, like right? So getting sober early, it was just because what do you do in that first 30 days, right? It was, can I make it to the weekend? I got sober on a Tuesday, right? So I had no problem. I'm like, well, I don't always go out on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, right? Because in Chicago, there's a quarter draft every night. So if we went out for quarter drafts on Tuesday, well, like I said, you drink through the week. It just takes that one, right? Just like missing class for me was the comparison. So if quarter drafts were on Thursday, then the weekend started on Thursday. And so it was a Tuesday. I'm like, well, I don't know. I just won't go out for quarter drafts tonight. It'll be easy, right? And I did that. And then I got to the weekend, and I'm like, well... You know, I don't have to go to meetings on weekends, you know. You're not gonna take my weekend, right? Because I quit because I was ready to kill myself. It was the, I had, you know, I just, because I'm dramatic, right? I didn't, I had to come up with an amazing plan. You know, if we had a big bridge in Chicago, that would have been the, you know, like in a movie or something. Good, right? Because if I'm going to go, well, I need a newspaper article, right? It's amazing. We found half the man in the car and half the man out of the car because I leaned out and hit a sign, right? Because it would be just, this is the craziness. Probably saved my life, right? Because it took too much planning to go do it. Because I had it all in there. I had the breath mints and the Visine and the aspirin. And it was hard living that way because it was completely unpredictable. Like I said, if quarter drafts were on a Wednesday, then Thursday morning was tough. You know, at 27, hangovers started to last all day. And it was physically tough. But my brain said, that's okay because you're a warrior. And this is what we have to do, right? To be the man, there's commitment and punishment, and you got to get through it. And that's how I lived my life, right? Because I couldn't imagine anything else. So when I got sober, I just resisted everything, right? I don't want to hear about the things I got to do. Do you know what I've done? I've given up drinking. It's everything I know. It's everything, right? And with it, everything else goes too. You know, I'll probably have no life. Do you know what I've done? So I don't have time for these things, right? The work I've done already. I don't need more work. And certainly I don't need a person, sponsor, to help me read some steps. I can read, right? Power greater than ourselves. Well, I'm not insane. That's ridiculous. Look what I did. You know? Decision to turn our will over to God as we understood him. Yeah, I've been to church. I'm fine. You know, he's in charge of tornadoes. We're clear. I got everything else. He's in charge of natural disasters. You know, I don't really want to go through all these, but it was tough. Searching in fearless mortal inventory, I don't even know what that means, right? So when I felt that I had 1, 2, and 3 under control, then I went to get to a sponsor to teach me how to do 4, right? Because I told him I had 1, 2, and 3 down, and I'll probably just need him for 4 and 5 because I need someone to tell it to so he could be there for that, and then we'll be good. You know, I understand. I'm not drinking, all right? I already know I'm not drinking. You got to rub it in. Oh, man. So, like I said, I got sober in downtown Chicago, so it was easy. It was so easy because they were just right there. We had this book where, you know, my point is it was a thick book because there was meetings all over the place. Didn't matter which neighborhood you lived in. I lived by Wrigley Field for a while. I lived down in the Gold Coast in Lincoln Park. And it doesn't matter. 10 minutes in any direction, I had a meeting. I went to evening meetings, right? Because I managed to keep the job. And it was awesome because it was easy. And I don't know what I would do if I lived out in the suburbs or had to go to any effort whatsoever, because I couldn't hardly be inconvenienced even to get a sober, to get a sponsor to stay sober and do these things. So it was awesome. I wouldn't go on the weekends. That was off limits. And I just went all the time. And I had a buddy, Rick, and I haven't even talked to Rick. I should look him up sometime, right? I went back to Chicago 5 years ago, and we lived there for a year, and I never went down to my old meetings because I'm too lazy. You know, that's one thing I suffer from is just, oh, can you make your own dinner? You're 8 years old. You know, oh, geez, the oven's not that hot. Use an oven pad. You know, like I forget. Oh, it's horrible. I got to go to Great America today, because I'm the dad that shows up, so I'm going to take him and 3 of his buddies to, Great America is Six Flags in Chicago. I always will call it Great America. So I got to go sit at the amusement park today until 6 p.m. Thank goodness it closes at 6 this time of year. So I'm trying to show up and do these things. So my buddy Rick, who I give credit to, is he had 1 month more sobriety than I did. And that's what got me through, because the first weekend, oh my gosh. Okay, I made it through 1 weekend, but now 2 weekends of not drinking, oh, it's never been done. You know? Oh my gosh. Can it be done, right? So 30 days, wow, 30 days, 30 days. It, you know? But that's uncharted. So it can't go on. There's no possible way, because I've already done 3 weeks on my own, and that was impossible, right? And so, because going to meetings, that can't keep anybody sober. It doesn't make any logical sense. So there's no way this is going to continue. But Rick had 60 days. He had just 1 month more. So it's just like, okay, if Rick can do it, if he got to 60, then I'll get to 60. Because, man, I got no clue, right? No clue. And then he got to 90, and I got to 60 days, and that's what kept me going. You know, so I try to tell folks, if you just lock on to somebody, because I had no, it doesn't matter who tells you you can do this. Bullshit. There's no way I can do this, right? And why would I want to anyway? This can't be forever, because it's all or none, you know, one day at a time. Oh, thanks a lot, one day at a time. You know, take that to bed tonight. You know, because I'll be in by 11 again, right? Nothing's happening. That's the one thing we had in Chicago, is we went to a meeting, an evening meeting, and then we all went to dinner somewhere together at a diner or something. So I was busy every night. You know, my apartment was never dirtier than after I got sober, because I was never there. You know, worked all day, got home, went to a meeting, went to dinner, and then got to bed. You know, nobody wanted to stay out till 2 because they were all sober. So that was hard to change that, because that was my, you know, I stay up later, I drive faster, I drink more. It was all the stuff that gave, because I was empty and had, you know, no self-esteem, all this stuff, right? All the, I don't like that psychology stuff. My, you know what I don't like is because my wife knows it so well. And she can go, oh, here's 3 terms for you. Selfish, dishonest, you know. Like, where do you get all those words from? Stop it. And can't label me, right? Oh, my goodness. So, it, you know, so after a couple of years and hearing about everybody that, you know, goes back out and this and that, and we don't go to meetings, I'm like, well, let's. So I went to meetings every day for 3 years to see what it was like, because nobody talks about it. And that was fantastic. So I know going to meetings works. You know, prior to that, it was. The secret of my success. I got the biggest cigar I could find one time. We were going to go smoke cigars. And the next day, I was sick as a dog, just like a hangover. I'm like, oh, thanks for the reminder. Right? I do not want to ever, because you get away from it, what's the big deal? Right? We can remember these things. So that was helpful. And then I had a back thing going on, and I took the medication, and I was loopy. Right, and I didn't miss that at all. Try to tell a joke, somebody said something funny, I went, yeah, and the, you know, I was like behind. I was like, well, that sucked, right? Because I don't want to let an opportunity for a good joke to go by, and it's all I got, right? Because apparently there's nothing else inside. Ask my wife. I'm just kidding. No. Oh, geez, why not try to have a little fun? But so, you know, I was thinking about driving over here, because it's just day to day, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm in the right job for sure. I like what I do, but am I in the right location, right? Kids, you know, small kids, small problems. Try to appreciate that. You know, I'm married and still married, been married for 12 years, and I believe in a higher power today, right? I rest on it. And some days I got to tell myself that I lean on that, that I rest on it, right? And driving over here, I'm like, we paused when agitated or doubtful. I'm like, what? You know, I'm just going to go over here and pause. That is so hard, right? So that's what I like about the third step prayer, because it's something I can do. It's a prayer that I know, because my sponsor told me to put it on my mirror when I was newly sober. And I had that, because the serenity prayer has never made sense to me, right? The courage to change things we can, that's all I need. I got the courage to change anything I want. I will quit that job. I will get divorced. I will fly to, because can't I change all of that, right? That's the so the serenity prayer for me just doesn't work, because I don't see limitations in my abilities, right? I, you know, look what I've done. So the third step prayer, that's why, you know, that's what I go to. I try to start every day, but I'm a knucklehead, you know, so if I don't put it on the right now, I've got on the mirror, if you're agitated, you're the problem. Oh, no, right? Because there's nothing to go change. I was going to go, yeah, son of a gun. I'm the problem. I got to change something inside me to make that guy less of a jerk. You know, it's a really hard concept, you know. So things have, so it's just what I want to accept, just like my higher power. He's either this big or he's this big. It's all up to me. You know, so this big is, it works for me, you know. So I try to let him be that big, because it you know, those little things in our daily lives doesn't seem like a higher power would have a hand in that. It was really a big concept for me to get through, but that has changed my life, where, you know, an action step was getting out the baseball bat. Now the action step is prayer, right? And because praying, hey God, you know, help me out today. And well, I got to go walk off and hope it works, you know? Like, if I want the lawn mowed, I got to go mow it, right? Take some action. That's action. So I just have to accept and practice that prayer is action. And I've got God's moments, you know? If you haven't done that, try it out, because it's those things. When I newly got sober, I had a roommate that I detested, and I was just trying to get out of the lease, would come home, you know, not apologizing for coming in at 3 a.m., but saying, I've got tequila shots, you know, I got to work in the morning, right? So this guy made me breakfast one day after I said the Lord's Prayer. And it was just quite a moment, because I broke down the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, you know, and what does that mean? And forgive us our trespasses. So I set about forgiving my roommate, right? And like, I'm going to utilize this Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to just do something. All of a sudden, so I forgive him and this and that, and he walks in with breakfast, right? And that he had cooked himself. And it was just a moment. And I've got those things now in my belt. And I've seen that life doesn't change, right? But your concept of the moment will change. You know, I've just have those things where, and it's in the analogy I use is that guy on the roof in the flood, right? And he's praying to God for help. And a guy in a canoe comes by, hey, you want some help? No, I prayed to God, I'm good to go. You know, and then he comes by in a motorboat, wants some help, and then he comes by in a helicopter, wants some help, no, God's got it, I prayed. Hey, idiot, why didn't I sent you a canoe, I sent you a motorboat, I sent you a helicopter. Anybody nod if you've heard this story, right? Okay, because this is what gets me through the day, right? This helps me, because I have challenges, and I go, gee whiz, and he's like, no, I solved that problem, and I solved that problem. Oh, yeah, thanks. And it does that. So, with that, I think I'll just wrap it up with, I don't have a wrap up, right? 22 years, and God is the focus of my life now. And, you know, I choose to call him God, and it makes my life easier. And I have to put this first, because I see what happens when I don't, right? If this isn't first, things start to slip. Lately, work has been first, right? And all of a sudden, everybody in my neighborhood drives like a jerk, you know? And I'm taking those things personally. And I see that, because if I get too far away, I want to go do something about it, you know? And so it's a little scary, you know, because I don't need to... We all have guns down here, right? And there's just no reason to put myself in that situation, because somebody needed to get to work quicker than I did, right? And when I'm sober and going to meetings, right, I leave a gap to let that guy cut me off. And sometimes I have to be magnanimous. I will allow them to cut me off today, right? Because it's the only way it's going to get done. So that's tough. But when I'm there, I have that ability, and I see it. When I'm not, you know, thank goodness I've got a breakfast group I go to, and we go to church on Sundays, and it's a combination of these things. You know, if I'm not at 3 meetings a week, I start to feel it, you know. And I had to apologize to my son last month for rolling down the window and telling this guy how he needs to improve his driving habits. Right? He's like, Dad, what's up? I'm like, well, Taylor, he had a problem, you know. You can't. There's kids that live in this neighborhood, right? And here I am driving worse to catch up to him, to show him that, you know. And there's my... So I got home, you know, and there's the program. Like, I've made all my amends, right? I have not harmed anybody this morning, aside from boring you for 45 minutes. You know, it's a, I'll make amends to you later. But I had to go home and make an amend to my 11-year-old son, you know? Never seen me drunk, right? I got so, the kids are 11 and 8. They've done nothing, right? They've never seen anything besides me crazy, you know, because you won't go to bed, right? That's all they've seen. Although I haven't given up caffeine, right? Haven't given up. I got some nicotine gum in my mouth right now. I think nicotine probably saved my life. You know? So I would go get some Copenhagen. And it would chill me out. I chewed more after I got sober than prior to sobriety. So I have no intention of giving up nicotine. I gave up all tobacco products, right? When my son turned 3, he's 11. You know? But I still got my nicotine going. So whatever it takes to get there, do that, because this is number one and the other stuff will come slowly. You know, I'm proud to be a man of faith and bring that to my life, you know, and now it's just fun to come see it full circle. Thank you very much. Thank you.